Public Safety Meeting, April 11th, 2017, 3 o'clock.
We're going to call in a half second. Okay. We're going to call the regular Public Safety Committee meeting of County Council to order. The time is 3 p.m. and we're Tuesday, April the 11th, 2017. With us today is President of County Council, Karen Hartley Negel, Co-Chairman of the Public Safety Committee, Jay Street. We have Councilwoman Janet Kilpatrick, Councilman Tim Sheldon, I'll get it right here in a minute, Councilman Ken Woods, Councilman Dave Tackett, Councilman George Smiley, Councilman John Cartier, and Councilwoman Lisa Dillard. My legislative aide is taking minutes and recording the meeting, Karen Barlow. And what's your pleasure with the minutes
of the
March 21st?
Very good. Okay, motion made and seconded to approve the minutes of the March 21st meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. First on our agenda today, we have the 2017 Community Emergency Response Team training program referred to as CERT, followed by the RAVE Panic Button Smart 911 Facility Program Update. At this time, we'll be calling upon Dave Carpenter, our Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Public Safety. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Chairman. Thank you very much. Dave Carpenter, Jr., Coordinator, Emergency Manager for Newcastle County. Just wanted to update you on a couple efforts.
Two at a time.
They're glossy, so.
So I just wanted to brief you on one of our major programs in our office that runs out of our office in partnership with a couple of volunteer instructors we have and the Newcastle County Paramedics that assist us in putting this training on. I know we've talked about this before during budget presentations, but we wanted to highlight it for two reasons why. Is one, we just started and kicked off in March, tried to kick off our annual classes that we have and our courses that we hold. We hold them on a Friday evening and a Saturday day. It's about a 14-hour course. Provides citizens with an enhanced level of disaster preparedness information, fire safety, light search and rescue. It also, in the county program, as opposed to the state program, it provides them with the opportunity to get their CPR AED certification through American Heart Association with the assistance of our Newcastle County paramedics teaching that and our instructors that we have certified throughout the county government public safety team. So that's an added bonus to them. They actually walk away, I won't say they walk away that day, but they do get their AHA card in the mail. It is has rave reviews, a lot of people attend it. Obviously it's a large time commitment on a volunteer, on a personal and citizen nature. We kind of entice them to come to the training because we hold it for free, first of all, there's no charge. Second of all, we feed them Friday evening dinner. We feed them Saturday day breakfast and lunch. So it's a bonus to them in that matter. So we kind of entice them to come, and it keeps them there, and it keeps the classrooms portion and the practical sessions rolling. For those, we have sent out a hot news recently on the schedule. We had to cancel the March's class because of low enrollment. We only had 8 people enrolled in that class. We didn't have class March. I'm getting my months mixed up. Apologize. Our first class was to be the last week in March. We only had 8 attendees scheduled for that class, and we ended up having to cancel it. We'd like to at least have 15 or more in the class. The class can hold up to 40 people in the class. We ended up picking up a class that the state could not put on last week. It was a one-day session. We didn't have the CPR AED portion, but it went very successful with one of our partners in the volunteer religious and faith-based community, St. Mark's United Methodist Church, who we use as a feeding site and a disaster recovery center in our partnership with them. And I've used them in the past during the floods out in Glenville and some other disaster situations for different uses. So the rest of our schedule for 2017, I'll get to it, is on our website. It's on our county website for ncccde.org for Office of Emergency Management, and you can just go ncccde.org CERT for CERT /CERT, and you go right to the CERT page. Has all the information about what the program is, the program syllabus, and it has our training schedule there. So upcoming, we have the class that is being hosted by the City of Newark. You can register through the City of Newark's Park Recreation. Earlier this week, or late last week, we had 15 attendees for that class registered per Newark. So as much as you can assist us in getting that word out to the state legislators, state representatives, we're going to start pushing that out. I'm going to try to bring up the link. I'm not sure if it'll work or not. The next class we have is in May 19th and 20th, and that'll be at the Public Safety Building in Mickwadale. And then we took the summer off, not taking it off literally, but just letting that. Last year we had a class in June that we tried to hold, and it was kind of bogged down with low attendance also. So we kind
in
of
your profession, you're never off during the summer.
Yeah, nope, I'm never off. So we're holding out one. We're holding out for the summer, and we're going to hold one in September 8th and 9th is the next basic class, and then kind of the pinnacle of our training that we do. Anybody that attends the basic class over the past 3 years is invited back to attend our advanced cert class. And the advanced cert class is a one-day session. We've done it in this format the past three years. We have held it at the Delaware State Fire School training site in Newcastle. It gives the attendees, usually held to about 30 attendees for that class. We usually get anywhere from 20 to 25. We've had about 25, 26 at the biggest class. We split them up into teams. We go over a tabletop exercise in the morning, and then we take them out to the burn building at the fire school site, and they actually get to go through a search and rescue scenario hands-on. They get separated up into teams. They get to rotate through the different functions, being in charge, actually doing the search portion of it, doing the medical portion of it, and if we have any others outlying areas, they get to participate in that. Great feedback from that. The participants love it. They love seeing the hands-on. Really, you know, forces them to start making some decisions and look at things that they need to do. I don't know if I can pull up mine. We are working on a... I should have had this open for...
And while Dave's doing that, let the record reflect that President Pro Tem Penrose Hollins has joined us from the very beginning of the meeting, has been here. And also Councilman Bill Powers and Councilman Bob Weiner were excused from today's meeting. They gave us prior notification that they would not be able to attend. Little commercials in between the break here.
Thank you, Kelsey.
That's okay.
I'm waiting on the popcorn to pop up on the screen for the snack bar.
When disaster strikes, do you know what? When is that?
So just recently we contracted with a video graphic producer and firm. It's a gentleman that was referred to us by, we run our some of our ads, we've had ads in the past, 30 public service announcements. We've run them through Comcast Spotlight on the Weather Channel. You probably have seen them on there if you watch the Weather Channel frequently. If you're not a Verizon customer, then if you're a Comcast customer, you will get the Weather Channel still. We're looking to replace some of those and update them. So we went out and they referred us to a gentleman who's done an excellent job. This is a draft of it. We're trying to make a couple minor edits to it, but otherwise this is going to hopefully advertise our service.
Disaster strikes. Do you know what to do to protect your family and neighborhood? Community Emergency Response Team, or CERT, is a FEMA national program that we offer right here in Newcastle County. CERT offers realistic training to help protect you and assist first responders. You can learn valuable information like how to use a fire extinguisher, perform basic search and rescue, and be certified in CPR. Don't get caught unprepared for a disaster. Contact us today to find out more information about CERT and to register for emergency notifications.
Any questions on the CERT program, Council?
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. Councilwoman Diller?
No problem.
Just formality, for the record.
No problem. How old do you have to be able to take this? What's your lower age limit?
Our lowest age limit is 16. Okay. However, if somebody contacts us and they have a parent or guardian with them, okay, or if they're part of an organization like the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts.
Those kind okay.
of Civil Patrol, we've done a lot of training for the Civil Patrol required of their members to take the course.
Right, right.
So if they have a senior person that's responsible for them as far as the program goes and they're okay, we have a waiver form to get signed off on.
Okay.
They're okay. But it's basically because of the fire training system, the
right,
fire safety training
right.
system.
Okay.
That's part of it is a requirement for 16, but if we have the guardian sign off.
I was just thinking of a couple of church youth groups that have a fairly large number of kids. I just didn't know if, but they would be under 16, so if
okay.
they had an adult with them.
They
okay.
have an adult with them and take it with them.
Okay,
okay
great.
So
thank
an
you.
Adult is fine, right?
I'm sorry?
An adult with them is fine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You used the term yeah. senior. So I was just wondering where he was going with that.
The lowest we typically go is like 12 or 13. About 12
yeah.
or 13.
And on the other end of the scale?
That's fine.
Yeah. Other question or comment from County Council? Okay. Director, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here, sir. Just one question.
Director?
To David, Director Bryant. How often do you see the folks around this table in one of your classes?
Janet, are you taking it?
I should.
Yes. Took a while back.
Yeah.
I know Valerie George is taking it. I think else.
I did the building fire
yeah.
program when I came in. That was enough.
Councilwoman Diller signed up for the April program.
That's why I asked. I've got a kid, and I was going to bring her along.
And I would bring my grades.
Co-Chairman Street.
In response to the director's question, at least one of us has to, by law, have CPR training on a regular basis. So I just want to make sure he knows that as he's asking this question.
Director, if you would, please take note of that.
Really? How do you know that?
Okay, any other question or comment on item number 3? Okay, hearing none, Dave, if you would continue into the rave panic button, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we didn't have many of these pamphlets around, but I'll pass this around this way and this one this way for you if you want. So I know Chief Miller has been in before. We've talked about this program before. This is just an update to where we are right now with this program. We launched back in the fall the RAID Panic Button program. It's an addition to the Smart 911 program that we already have, where individuals can go in and put in their profile, put in as much information as they want, you know, as little information they want, but we try to encourage them to put all their information as much as they want, their medications, their allergies, their children's pictures, those kind of things. They can build as much a profile as they want or as little. And that information is sent when they activate 911 through their contact numbers that they put into the system, obviously is activated at 911. 911 gets a ticket generated. If they need to, they can pull up that profile. If they can't understand what the person's saying or need information from the person, then the person can't relay it to them. Another aspect of that is they can actually start a texting if the person needs to be texted. Once Smart 911 is activated, they can start texting. Or that information can be sent, the ticket gets generated to the responders, and the responders can pull that up on their mobile data terminals, their laptops, and the vehicles, so that they can pull that information up. If they get to the scene, the person's gone unconscious and they're not able to gather the information. Obviously, sometimes this is very critical in diabetic situations. You know, it's a lot easier to treat the patient and care for them if you know what their history are, or will know what most likely their probable situation is, than trying to just, you know, flat out go from 0 to 60 in, you know, in a short period of time. As an added bonus to that, we signed on with the Panic Button app and the Smart Facility module to Smart 911. So the Smart Facility now does what Smart 911 does for individuals, for facilities. So any organization can contact us as the county. We can have them set up. EA, our executive assistant TJ Ferris in our office, is administering the program. He's the administrator for the program and oversees it. So the organizations that have already been on board, to name a few, are Red Clay School District, DuPont, all three centers, the Stein Haskell Experimental Station and Wilmington. They're up to about 120 buildings now.
Caravel Academy.
If you would please identify yourself. Sir?
Yes.
Hello. For the record, if you would just identify yourself.
My name is T.J.
Everything's
Ferris.
Recorded, and we have to have it on the recording. And welcome.
T.J. Ferris from Cass County Emergency Management Executive Assistant. Yes, we've had
Caravel Academy, some community centers, a couple of religious centers have come on and acquired that they wanted to get on, and I've been working with them and just trying to get more marketing out there.
Okay. How has that been advertised to them that it's available?
So far in the fall, we did a huge media release. I have a video of that. When Chief Miller spoke with Smart 911, with Rave Panic Button folks, we did a press release off of that. We've done social media advertising. Whenever we go to outreaches ourselves, or the Division of Communications is out, we have Smart 911 and Rave Panic Button pamphlets. We've contacted specifically some entities in order to do that. We have been working very closely with the School Safety and Homeland Security Department, the School Safety Program Administrators, both Evelyn Brown and Willie Patrick, retired Chief Willie Patrick from Wilmington, are both in charge of that school safety program. So their role and responsibility is to go around to the schools and administer the House Bill 232, I believe it was, that required the schools to create their school safety plans. They go and check up on those plans. They go and assist them with tabletop exercises and their annual exercise requirements, and they make sure that they're getting the information up on their school safety plans. So we're pushing it out to the school districts. We've been contacted by Colonial. We're trying to get them set up so they can start setting up their organizations. It's a good program. It's working well. It worked several times with the Jewish Community Center in their recent incidences that they've had. They activated it, and we were able to immediately connect. One of the benefits to it is the app works, the video will speak for itself, but once the app is, there's an app that goes along with that program. Once that app is activated, if the entity gives us the permission, we can activate their security cameras that are on site or any of the CCTV instruments that they have on their facilities, and we can gain access to those at the 911 center, and then we have a first hands-eye view of what's going on at the site and at the incident before the emergency responders can even get there.
Co-Chairman Street.
All right. Red Clay signed on.
Yes.
All the schools in Red Clay in the county, police jurisdiction, the state police.
Yes.
So how does this tie in to state police? What are the roles here?
Well, state police are responsible for the schools, the majority of the schools, but it doesn't matter because the information, all their call, any call on 911 in Newcastle County comes into the Newcastle County 911 Center, with the exception of City of Wilmington and City of Newark and UD. If somebody does call into Newark, Wilmington, they're asking for the police. If it's a fire and EMS situation, it's going to get transferred to the County 911 Center, and that profile is going to come up as soon as that number is transferred to the County 911 Center. The role and responsibility is then we still have their we have the information, and we can present that to not only just the state police but the other responders that are responding to that incident.
Okay. So, but if it's a police matter, who's going? The state, the county, or both?
State police primarily, but in a school situation, if it's an actual active shooter situation, you're getting everybody. You're getting state, county, Ellesmere, UD, whoever's there, Newark, whoever's in the vicinity.
Okay. Has there been discussion with them as to who in the school is and is not authorized to pull that panic button?
Yes. So typically the app is only downloaded by administrators or key personnel within the facility that they feel need to have the app. It doesn't mean that others can't have access to the information. Once, I keep reaching for my phone, it's over here. Once you're on the system, like for instance, I have the app and I'm on the system for all the county facilities. So if there was an incident at the city county or the city county building, I would get notified because I'm an administrator and I'm a contact for the city county building. Once anybody in this building activates the app, whoever has downloaded the app, and we've given authorization to download that app. But if I wasn't, I wouldn't need the app. I could be listed as a contact for that facility. So even all the teachers in a school could be listed as contacts, and they would still get a notification on their phone that there was an incident and who activated that incident, that there was an initiation of 911 through the app.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Yes.
You got a good start.
Good start. All right. From the standpoint of once it's activated, where does the activation show up? Is it in the call operator section? Is it in the dispatch area itself? And what does it actually provide to the 911 center as far as, you know, what type of activation, things of that nature?
Why don't I play the video from them?
That would
be cool. About a 3-minute video,
okay.
And that would help explain it a little better.
Okay.
When an emergency strikes, seconds and minutes can mean the difference between life and death. Every 15 seconds that an active shooter has unrestricted access to more people, he will claim another victim. Or when someone goes into cardiac arrest and their heart stops beating, every 1 minute that passes without the initiation of CPR, there's a 10% decrease in survival. It goes without saying, rapid response is critical to saving lives in an emergency. Schools, businesses, healthcare, and government facilities experience emergencies of all types every day. If an emergency occurs at work, the Rave Panic Button smartphone app quickly connects you to 911 and at the same time sends an alert to your colleagues and any security personnel on campus. The app can be used during any type of crisis situation, such as an active shooter on campus or an incident requiring police, fire, or emergency medical services. How does the Rave Panic Button app work? During the initial setup, administrators are chosen for your facility and will enter information about the campus at www.smart911facility.com. They can enter facility details such as buildings, floor plans, and landlines, as well as employee names, email addresses, and mobile phone numbers. Once you've been entered into the system by an administrator, you can then download and register with the app. iPhone users will download from the Apple App Store and Android users from the Google Play Store. In the store, click Search, then type Rave Panic Button in the search bar. The app is intended to be used by all employees in a business, healthcare, or government environment. However, on a school campus, keep in mind that the app is only to be used by faculty and staff, not students. Now, let's say that you have downloaded the Panic Button app and an emergency situation occurs on campus. Whether you are calling from an iPhone or an Android, first identify the button option that closest relates to your emergency. Hold the button down for 1.5 seconds to activate the emergency call. While iPhone users will immediately be connected to 911, Android users will be asked to first confirm the emergency call by pressing the green send button. At the same time that you are being connected to 911, an emergency alert is sent to all employees that need to be notified at your facility. For instance, if you are calling to report there is an active shooter on campus, all employees will receive the alert. However, if you are calling to report a medical emergency, only key administrators and staff with medical training will be notified. To learn more about the Rave Panic Button app, go to www.ravepanicbutton.com.
Other questions from council?
Okay. Today?
From peace of mind at your fingertips.
Please identify yourself.
Please identify yourself. Dave, a follow-up question. If the app is activated for active shooter, comes in the 911 center,
yep.
Do they have sufficient information on their screen to identify there's an active shooter situation where they don't have to vocally or verbally say anything? Because as we know, if you have a situation where somebody's in a room, they don't want to be a victim themselves,
right.
But they want to get the activation in.
Right.
How would that play out?
Two ways it would play out. One is as soon as they activate the app on the phone, it's basically also a 911 call at the same time. So as long as you lay the phone down, it's going to be an open line, which is going to be an open line in the 911, which is an in-progress call and a high-priority call for 911 and for the police and everybody else. If it comes through what shows up at the 911 operators, call operators' consoles, they actually have the smart 911, the Rave Panic Button, the smart 911 facility console programs on their consoles. it activates and it gives them all the information. It starts to provide them all the information associated with that facility that has been put into the system.
Okay. Will it identify what type of call they've activated?
Yes. So on the app, if you saw, there's several different buttons on the app. The biggest one being an active shooter, big red one at the top. And then there's fire, medical, police, and other. And so what will go through to the 911 console and what goes out to the other contacts on your list is fire or active shooter activated, initiated by default for the city county building. And that's what would go across to everybody else, and that's what goes to the 911 center also.
Thank you. Yeah, TJ Ferris. I just want to emphasize really quick, because I've done this probably 50 times now. It is basically just calling 911. But in a school, if a fire alarm goes off, they just dial 911. The 911 center doesn't know what they're going into. So when you activate that button, not only do we know it's a medical, it's a fire, it's an active shooter, but also everyone in that big Take Care of Academy, like I just went out there a couple weeks ago, they know it's a medical, it's a fire. They get that notification, and then they can go through their emergency protocols as they've been taught or as they've been trained. So that's kind of the benefit of the...
It's definitely an advantage, because from the standpoint, 911 hang up or disconnect could be anything.
Yeah.
But having the system where it identifies in the app what's been activated is really crucial. Especially with an active shooter. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Director, but in past years, it was always that you waited until everybody got on location, you went as a team. Today, the whole process has changed to where you try to get in, eliminate the threat as soon as you can, and that may mean individual or a few officers actually going in ahead of everybody else getting there, because they found that the as far as the deaths and critical injured have escalated beyond what if maybe they would have been able to eliminate the threat. Yeah. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And TJ, first one more time, if they do give us their IP address and their camera access, the 911 center can actually see what is going on, and that is going to give them a way better response to know where someone is in an active shooter, where a fire is, how bad a fire is. So it's going to give a better response. It's a better way of dialing 911, as I like to say.
Okay. And in your position, do you report to Chief Miller?
Yes, I report to Dave, who reports to Chief Miller, who reports to Dave.
Okay, so you're in emergency management area, and then that goes...
I'm appointed as an EA, but I'm appointed in emergency management at the time, and then I also report
Just to trying to figure out... so that everyone knows, like, who's reporting to who and who's actually handling the project and everything. So, Councilman Woods?
Question, does the app say I'm one of the people for this building?
Yes.
But I'm not in this building. I'm at my house.
Uh-huh.
And I hit that button.
Yes.
What happens? Does the call go out. Does the call think I'm here?
No, it just goes out as a 911 call.
Okay.
When you're here, what happens on the software system is when the administrator for the building, for your building, sets up your site, they can basically draw a fence, a line around the outside of the building to a geofence that then receives your cell signal and identifies that you're in this location. And then it'll associate it with this facility.
Okay.
If you're not at this facility, it just goes through as a normal 911 call.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Hearing none. Any question or comment, Coach Chairman Street?
I just want to make this comment, and you can take it as you want. I'm going to trust that y'all have put in place and there with the school districts, that there's some parameters who can and can't call. An active shooter situation is one thing, but I don't want irresponsible, overzealous people in those buildings that have the capability to call out the damn SWAT team for a food fight. And those are the kind of things that can happen if this is not, folks are not properly trained and it's not properly used right.
Right.
And, I can tell you, having been in the school 49 years ago and the SWAT team was called out, some people never recover from it.
Exactly, Councilman. And but answer to your question, no, basically, is because the only people that can be authorized to download the app are the people that are authorized by the administrator for that organization, for instance, Red Clay School District. We work with that administrator to set up the buildings and the campuses. They're basically their campus. And then they designate who they want to be put on that list of people that are able to download the app and or that are contacts. If the person goes to download the app, they have to get authorization from us as administrators at the county. So we have to authorize that first. They can't just download the app without that authorization.
One other question kind of got generated here in my mind, and that would be that as far as the pre-planned information for that facility, if they have that entered, is that available to responding units with the CAD as far as the emergency response, police, fire, rescue, EMS? Or is it only at the center?
Yes, it will be good.
Please identify yourself, you would.
TJ Ferris, again. When the profile pops up on the screen, if no matter what, if it's a Concord Mall has a geofence around its entire place, even if you dial 911, you're not even a part of this program, that profile is going to pop up on the screen. So if they put a free plan in there, that dispatcher is going to be able to see that. And then that dispatcher can relay that out to the responder. Okay.
So it's as not on the
right.
responding.
Yeah. And so Dave right knows where I'm going with it is that from an incident command standpoint, right. a response standpoint, especially with law enforcement, fire, EMS, is that, you know, if you can have that information visible within the responding unit or a command unit,
right.
You can set up, you know, your command center and your attack and everything.
Yeah.
So something to work.
I know where you're looking at is, so on the smart facility side, no, it's at the call operation center.
Mm-hmm.
So then the call operators can forward that information out to them. It would have to be through our normal email exchange or server, you know, exchange over the county network system. Well, we'll have to look deeper in it. I'm not sure if there's an ability to put that smart facility at at a location other than the 911 center. We can talk about that.
Oh, TJ, real quick. One more time. I know that they do have the potential, because you know you've been in the fusion center. Obviously, it's named after you. But what they can do is they can park that call and move that information into the fusion center to activate in a big situation like an active shooter. And then that information would be there for the leadership, like the chief of police would come down into that situation. So
now, and I appreciate that. I think that, you know, as we look to next generations of, you know, CAD and different technology, is that the criticality of having that information available on scene from a standpoint of deployment of law enforcement, fire, rescue, EMS is something that we should be looking at in the future.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Director Bryant?
Director, we just last week we met with our new IT director, and he made it pretty clear to us that he's going to find a way to do just what you're talking about. He is well advanced when it comes to safety and the technology that we need to enhance our ability to see and hear. So he's already talking it, but his plans are to meet with us on a regular basis to take a look at what we have, take a look at where we need to go, and find a way to get there. So I'm encouraged by that, both myself and the chiefs, both Bond as well as Miller. We had a conversation with him, so.
Thank you, Director.
And the other point is, as they go around, they're really trying to encourage these schools and these facilities to give us their IP addresses. Because that does, it makes a huge difference, as you all know. If there is a active shooter, again, as the councilman stated, years past, we waited until we had everyone there, hours later to go in. That has changed dramatically. If there are two officers there, they're going in to try to address the threat immediately. So things have changed, and we're just going to keep changing with it. We have a good relationship with the state police, who are responsible for most of the schools in Newcastle County, except for, I guess, those in the city. And, and, and
Newark and Newark and Newcastle.
And so we have a relationship with them, and we're able to. We all know when it's time to go in, we're going together. We won't wait. So more information can happen up front, obviously.
It's just a test of the emergency broadcast system.
It's only a test.
Continue, Director.
But again, as you visit different facilities throughout Newcastle County, be it a community center, be it a school, a church, tell them about this program, and have them reach out to our emergency management group, and at least accept a presentation about the product. I think once people see it and hear it, I think most will decide to sign on.
Councilman, after you.
Can we get each one broken down via email so that we could actually send it to people with, like, the little video, that we could send it to people within the churches and...
Yes.
That'd be
great.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're up to 97 buildings in the inventory right now that are associated with about 15 organizations. The biggest being DuPont. There are three complexes. TJ mentioned Caravelle Academy, Red Clay School District, Concord Mall, and they're associated. What's the other facility? Tri-State.
Brandywine Town Center. And that's their Arcadia Realty. The malls are very, very weird. They have a different realty company owns a different store. It's very complicated.
So we have them on board. Christiana Mall is also registered. We're still trying to work with them to use it to the maximum that they could. That's a site that that we're trying to get up and running a little. That's all I have, Councilman.
Any other questions, comment? Want to thank Director Bryant, yourself, Dave, and your staff, everyone in public safety for the outstanding job that you do. And I was kidding a little bit about the summer months, but as we all know, we get a lot of text messages, emails, and everything else. And Dave and crew is on top of all the different warnings and advisories, and your staff keeping us all advised, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Any question or comment from the public? Hearing none?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I just want to bring up quickly, we have the director here. I don't know, Chief, I guess, wasn't able to make it, putting nothing on the agenda for me. But I guess it was early January, we had a conversation about potentially putting some cameras in our parks because of certain situations and things that were going on happening. I understand we've kind of moved that community through some license plate readers, but I mean, certainly you all are the professionals, I'll defer to you, but I'm not sure that's going to do, possibly what we're looking for with some of the things that have happened and are going on to actually identify individuals and things that are going on. So I'm not sure if that's something that we could revisit. I know early on I had a conversation with Special Services, and they were working with Captain Davies. So if there's any potential to, see if that could be revived or revisit that, I think it would be a lot of, value to us, especially right now with what's going on in our parks.
Director Bryant, I just got an email from Special Services. Actually, you received it as well from John. So,
but that's about license plate readers. Yeah. It's not,
It's not about the cameras.
Yeah.
There has been some discussion about why it hasn't, why it won't work, and the person checking it back to you on that.
Right. Because we haven't been privy to any of that conversation. I think it's all been internal. So.
Very good. Yeah.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Just as far as the license plate readers, I have a couple of communities that have installed cameras that work very well and target the license. So even if at the entrances, they're on entrances, so some, two lanes mm-hmm. plus shoulders going into some of these developments. So obviously they can work. The other thing, and I talked to the county executive about this the other day, is I was in a state park not too long ago, and they have automated gates for some of the parking areas that are kind of hidden behind trees. So it's the gate, the motor, the timer, and solar. And so somebody doesn't have to come and close the gate every night. Not that you couldn't walk around the gate, but it keeps the cars from going in to the parking areas. And it's certainly not for every park, but let's take Banning, you know, which has the trees around it and is not visible from a road. So if you had a gate on, you know, one way in, one way out, certainly that you would have the ability for that gate at a certain time to close automatically. And they were, they're metal, where I was, it was a metal gate. Not that somebody couldn't ram it, but then you've got, you know, a whole other issue. But I think those are some of the things, I hate to even think about this, but I think those are some of the things that we're going to have to eventually look at, because there are things going on in our parks that should not be going on.
Okay. Coach Allen Street?
Well, given what happened last week, I don't try to speak for this council, but I would hope that y'all, whatever you need to reduce the likelihood of future occurrences, bring it to this council and let us fight about it. Because what happened, we should do all we can to reduce the likelihood of future occurrences, and we should use all the resources we possibly have to get that person off the street. And so if there, but if you need additional tools in the toolbox and they cost money, then bring them to us. Let us fight about it. But let's do all we can to reduce the likelihood of future crimes.
Okay, with that being said, motion's in order.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Next meeting at 4 p.m. Executive Committee.
Downstairs.
Downstairs.